110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, October 6th, 2022. And we're going to talk about this past weekend's victory over Rutgers and discuss this upcoming game against Michigan State. Just let everybody know this will be the last show for at least a week. We are going to take advantage of the bye week and head down to sunny Orlando, Florida. So we'll be at Disney World and Universal next week.
Is it sunny right now? I hope so.
Yeah. We'll be at the parks next week, so we won't be able to record a show next week, but it's bye week, so we'll be going over at least the Michigan State stuff, our thoughts ahead of time, and I'm sure we'll be tweeting about the game.
Yeah, if there's anything that looks real bad after this win, if there's anything that looks bad after this game, we'll talk about it when we get home. Hopefully, we don't have to do that. But if not, then we're going to roll right into the Iowa pregame show. Yeah. Would be the next one you guys will hear from us.
Yep. Alrighty. So quickly, we're going to get into just our thoughts on the Rutgers victory. They handled their business. I mean, It was kind of weird.
It was a very odd blowout.
Like, it's just a weird playing Rutgers. Like, it's just the thing that sucks about them being in the Big Ten is like, we have to kind of care about this game. And it always seems like when they play Rutgers, it's just always like one of those, like they've had weird blowouts before in non-conference games. And it's always just feels like that. It's like, why are they playing Rutgers? Like, and it's like you're kind of thinking, it's like, man, some of the stuff I don't like, but they're up by 30 points and mm-hmm. I don't know
how. It was really weird. I mean, like 2020, the last time they were in the horseshoe was strange like this also. I'm trying to think right now, I don't know which one feels more dominant, like, because that one was like you jumped way over on top of them like we did this time too. I mean, I know they scored the first touchdown, but we jumped all over them this time. Also, it's just like defense looked a lot better this time around than what it did in the second half of that 2020 game. Offense was clunkier for more of like the entirety of the game, even though it really wasn't. It was just more ground based. Because the offense wasn't great, in 2020 in the second half, but like it was a strange game.
Mayan was dominant in this game, and CJ Stroud really was. But he didn't do anything that was like, he had that one god awful throw where he throws into
four people. That one was a head scratcher for sure.
But yeah,
I mean, but like you look back at it, and I know CJ Stroud never wants to end a game with 150 passing yards. Like, that is way below his standard as a player. But if you look at it, I mean, look what Mayan did on the ground. And I mean, how many like passing or like offensive or defensive pass interference were called on Rutgers? How many illegal touches, like two or three in the game? It was a very odd game from a passing standpoint.
Yeah.
And I know Rutgers was playing that deep zone that teams have had some success against Ryan Day's offense with, but yeah, it's a game you'll kind of probably never see again. It was just really weird.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with all that. Let's start. We'll just talk about, just give our opinions, who we think the player of the game is, any lingering issues you have and any surprises. We'll kind of bunch everything up together. So I'll shoot with you first. Just your offensive thoughts based on those three categories.
Well, I mean, being offensive player of the game, I'm going to have to go with Mayan Williams first. And if you go with that also, that's fine. He tied a record from, what was it? Was it Byers and Pete Johnson or just?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 5 touchdowns in a game. You can never go wrong with that. I mean, isn't that what like Haskins did against Ohio State last year? And those idiots don't ever shut up about it. So sorry, Michigan fans, you're not idiots. But yeah, I mean, that's very impressive. And he had that 70 yard long touch that run. I know he was huffing and puffing by the end of it. You see how long his strides were. I mean, Maya was doing everything to get to the end zone, but yeah, he had a hell of a game. I mean, definitely, you know, with Trey being out, he had to shoulder the whole load pretty much, and he did a hell of a job. Oh, so yeah, they've been splitting carries this year, and Mayan showed that, you know, if you need me to be a bell cow and take it, you know, tote the rock every play, I can do it. So kudos to him. Hell of a game. Definitely gets my offensive player of the game. And then you said next was like concern.
If there's any concerns, I mean,
are they trying too hard to make passes work against a double high sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, they are. They did a lot better than they did against Notre Dame.
Here's my concern. There had to have been checkdowns there. So that's my concern. And my other concern is they haven't thrown to the running back, I don't think, at all this entire year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if you're going, like, you can still do it passing the ball, but if the deep pass isn't there, that's fine. Just use your checkdowns.
Yeah.
Make them pay for it.
This was like the first game of the year. I didn't even get this feeling after Notre Dame that it was like
forcing too much.
That it seemed like this was like the first time that they really missed Jackson. Like there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Like it's just, I don't know if like everybody's heads just weren't in the game because it's Rutgers, but it just seemed like that.
There was Wendy's.
It didn't seem like the receivers were trying to help Stroud out any at times too. And it's just like, it just seemed like there was a lot of going through the motions. And I know it's just being super picky for,
we gotta be. Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. That's just my opinion on it that I don't know if it's a lingering issue or anything. It just seemed like that was like really the first time that it really seemed like for whatever reason that Rutgers secondary was kind of bogging down, that they just didn't. Maybe it's because Stroud wasn't really looking for Stover as much in this game as it seems like he was looking in other games.
And that's what I'm kind of talking about as a lingering concern. It was like, they were all kind of we got Rutgers in front of us. We're going to just pad every stat imaginable. And it just wasn't there for them. And they kept, you know, kind of beating a dead horse with it, you know, or beating their heads into the wall. So yeah, I would like to see them kind of get out of that mindset a little bit easier, a little bit quicker, and do your check downs, pass it to the tight end, pass it to the running back. Cause I didn't go back and rewatch the game really, but I know there had to have been huge, huge openings for those underneath plays.
Yeah. I can't force myself to rewatch it.
No, it's not going to do that.
Once you get past Rutgers week, it's like, it's over.
Yeah. I'll rewatch a lot of games. I'm not rewatching Rutgers.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Like something that a surprise
or any big surprises you had thought, you know, that you weren't expecting and it had happened.
Rutgers has a good run defense. So again, I'm not as shocked as I was against Wisconsin that it came too easy, but maybe that it's continuing to come so easily for the offensive line is, I think we've said at the beginning of the year, this could be the best offensive line in the country because they have the pass blocking on, you know, the ends. We know those tackles can both run block. We know those guards are mean as hell. I mean, Donovan Jackson, Matt Jones have never been full-time starters, but we know they're good.
Yeah,
but I don't think I expected them to be this good this point of the year that maybe there's no possibility that they can be bad. You know, it's like they're really like close to being like really, 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 really dominant. And I just don't think that they were. I didn't expect them to be there yet.
We got a couple, Michigan State, not so much, but we got a couple after the bye week. We do got a couple big time defensive lines coming up. So it'll be very interesting to see how they do against them. But, you know, Rutgers defensive line for what they are is pretty good. You know, Shiano's brought in some good players on that front. And I mean, just go back and watch. I mean, if you're going to, like I just said, I didn't rewatch the game, did see some clips. Shared with the one clip on the 70-yard touchdown run. I mean, there is literally, I think they have like two or three of the blocks are literally, they have the guys about 10 yards.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's even more so even past the offensive line. Cade Stover's got, you know, his guy tied up. Julian Fleming plenty of times in the game. I mean, he's like comes down and crushes dudes. He's the crackback wide receiver, and he's a mean blocker. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I would be at. I know I said it last week too, but I'm just kind of shocked that, you know, it just, I think I'm shocked to see that they already seem like so much of a finished product.
Yeah.
At least in the run block game, which I did not expect. And I thought they were still going to be good pass blocking. They were excellent last year. And I think they are. But it, like you said, maybe Wisconsin's really, really bad. And we don't know that. And Rutgers is Rutgers. So we say that they're good, but they are still Rutgers.
Yeah.
So we got to see the Penn States. We got to see the Iowas, the Michigans. Even Michigan State usually gets a better quality defensive lineman than what you get at Rutgers. So we're really going to start seeing things get amped up a little bit. And let's see how the run blocking does moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. On my side of it, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, I agree with you that Mayan was the player of the game, but to kind of just piggyback off what we're talking about, I'm going to say the whole, just is another, just throw out there. I mean, it's kind of to argue that the whole offensive line wasn't the
right,
like, and it was like a little frustrating. I know like Ryan Day was trying to do a couple of things down there in the red zone and they did get their touchdowns, but it was just like, it kind of got to a point and like, just run it with Mayan at this point.
Right. Just run it down their throats, like, man. We don't need to throw the ball at the 1 yard line.
Like, I know maybe you would like to get another touchdown for CJ. And I thought maybe Ryan was chasing stats a little bit in the game, just to maybe not even get CJ to 200 yards, just to get him like one more touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bottom line stat, but Rutgers ain't going to, I mean, as long as you beat Rutgers and do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to, Rutgers, even in a subpar performance, ain't losing CJ Stroud the Heisman. You know, his winning of the Heisman is coming up later in the year. If, you know, if he performs down the stretch, you know, he's, in my opinion, the front runner to win the Heisman. So, so yeah, I'm going to say, you know, Mayan in reality is the one player, but that unit as an offensive line is, and like they're getting to the point now that they are a full unit, and it's like, and that's when you get good offensive lines, when they are just doing everything in, you know, concert with each other, and just, it's like, you know, just, it's a beautiful orchestra, a symphony,
yeah,
playing, and everybody's hitting their beats and their notes and everything else, and just they're crushing it right now. And I can only imagine what, you know, they're going to look like by the end of the season, to the point that, you know, you are thinking that, you know, I mean, we'll get to Jim Knowles in a minute. I think Jim Knowles could win the Broyles this year, but, you know, Fry might be one really pushing him for it, because
you could have two finalists. Like, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that like, it's almost, because it's a coordinator, you got to say Knowles is the best, the biggest hire in the offseason, but I've seen a lot this year. Fry is like, my God, they are just, you know, and they were never a bad offensive line understud. So that's what I would say. My lingering concerns, it's just, I don't know if I have any lingering concerns on offense. I would have to see, like I said, it was just a blah game. So, I mean, it was a blah blowout. And so I guess I would have to see a little bit more of blahness to be like, now I'm getting to the lingering concerns going forward. I'm going to probably say the same thing on defense, but I think, I guess it's health right now, that it's just that, you know, they just need to get some guys healthy. And, you know, the bye week's coming at, I think, a very perfect time. It seems like we got guys that are getting pretty close to getting back in. So I would just say that right now. And surprises, I mean, I don't know. I guess the only really surprise I had in the whole game was just that, why the hell are you running a punt block on a...
That wasn't offensive.
Like, you know, they were on offense. Like, you know, I don't know. You know, I think Ryan Day was getting ready to square up there a little bit. But I don't know.
Greg is scary, man. I don't know. I don't know if Day could take Shiano.
Yeah, you know, I guess the surprise, I mean, you could say, argue the offensive line there, like you said. It's just like, it was just, some of that blocking was just way, way simple. It's like, I've never seen, you know, I mean, Rutgers, I mean, they were blowing them off the ball. Like, it's just like, I mean, when you literally go back and watch that 70-yard touchdown, like I just said, I mean, these guys are literally, they're holding blocks at 10 yards. The offensive push defensive linemen 10 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's nuts. And You know, even I don't care if it's Rutgers, that should not happen at a Power Five conference where, you know, an offensive line is able to push the defense line 10 yards, you know.
Oh, man. I mean, they could have held their blocks probably all the way to the end zone. The men in front of them, like, they bullied the hell out of them.
They let go of their blocks the minute that, you know, mine got past them. But I mean, that was just crazy. And let's see. All right. Defense.
Defensive player of the game, I'm going to say Steel Chambers. I said he was going to be defensive player of the game. I think he definitely was. I mean, it's nice to see he was definitely a much more efficient tackler than what he's been this year. He's been in on a lot of plays, but he's missed a good number of tackles up to this point. And it seemed more like, for sure, like, wasn't going after people's chest or shoulders. He was tackling their hips, tackling their knees. So I think he's getting it a little bit more as a linebacker, but looked great, had an interception, had a couple tackles for loss, and he was just all over the place.
Yeah.
Surprise or no, lingering.
Either or.
Whatever. Lingering concerns Denzel Burke.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. It has to be at this point. And I think you and I are very sometimes a little maybe too fair to the players that we don't point blame, or, you know, we like to give second, third, fourth chances, but it's getting to a point where the guy just looks completely lost out there. And I don't know if it's just like they like doing more man up stuff where he was more in a zone last year and he's not comfortable with it. He has a broken hand or something, you know, he had surgery on his hand. So you might tendon, whatever it could be, it could be painful at the point of contact. And he's backing off to, I don't know. He loses the ball in the air. He's in position.
Yeah.
He's always right next to the guy. It's just like, he loses the ball in the air. So, yeah, I mean, that's my lingering concern, because you're going to go up against teams that, you know, can get some stops against your offense down the road, that have good receivers, that have good quarterbacks. And I don't want that to be a one possession or tied ball game, last play, you know, last possession of the game, and him get beat deep. And that's why Ohio State, you know, doesn't make a national championship or loses a national championship, because there's some just deficiency with his coverage skills. So That's my, you know, that is my lingering concern right now, because that's been the constant, just real Achilles heel of our defense right now, is one cornerback. And again, you know, I think you and I sometimes go out of our way to like say, hey, we got to give everyone a chance. You know, that it's a hard game, but you got to perform on the field also.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And then, I don't know, surprise was actually, how quickly in a Rushman package Zach Harrison adapted to being a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I feel like you've been saying for years that he should be a three tech in the Rushman package, and he looked pretty damn impressive in the times he was in there.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. You know, my thoughts on this. So, you know,
and he could have been my player of the game too.
My surprise. So my player of the game would have been Steel, the pick one, but Zach was my number two. So I'll just highlight Zach on that. I mean, forced fumble, you know, the tip ball that gets intercepted. So, I mean, he was just he looked unstoppable. And I just think going forward, you know, they kind of found maybe a spot for him, you know, kind of permanently in that defense, that where he can create the most havoc. And like, when you think about it kind of reminds me, and I know it's a different position, it was kind of when they started getting comfortable with Adolphus as the nose, you know, and 14, you know, you just out of nowhere, you don't have necessarily the guy that can wreak havoc. And then you do find the guy that can wreak havoc. And it's just like, now it's like when you get in a Rushman package and you got, you know, JTT and Jack on the outsides, and then you got Harrison and Hall in the middle, that's a scary four man, you know, line, you know, three man with Jack standing up line, that, you know, I really like that. So I think going forward, that could be a very big difference maker, because he's got so much, he's a big dude and he's got so much athleticism, that's just going to be very difficult on guards.
Right.
They, you know, deal with him.
And he's strong. He has long arms. He can, you know, he can punch them before they can punch him. Yeah. And that's huge.
And they can do all kinds of weird things with, you know, him and, you know, JDT and him and Hall, where they do different stunts. And, you know, so, yeah, I very much appreciated that.
And I don't think Tyleek Williams should be like out of the game or anything, but it's definitely a great look, though. And Taron Vincent, he's had a great year.
I think when they're more in their, you know, I think those guys are natural fits when they're in, you know, more of their early downs. But, you know, you get third and long situations, I have no problem with them being like, this is our Rushman package. Yep. And, you know, this is what we're going with. I don't really have any surprises, so I'm not going to, I'll skip that. My lingering concerns is just with you with Denzel. I think Denzel, it's not only that he looks very uncomfortable out there. And that kind of goes into with my second concern is just that there's just such a, it's still lingering injuries. Yeah. That,
especially, you know, in the back.
It'd be one thing if can't, I mean, I've liked what J.K. Johnson's done, you know, Jair, you know, I liked what he did when he was out to that game. It's just, if Cam was healthy and back, and, you know, if Hancock was healthy, you know, I wouldn't be as concerned with Burke, because, you know, they could kind of, you know, if you don't perform, we're going to let one of these other kids play. But it's like, they're kind of in the position, like right now, until those, some of those guys get healthy, it's like, well, he's kind of got to be out there. So, you know, yeah. I mean, even if Jair and JK were starting, I mean, he still is going to be in there as a rotational player in that, you know, it's just, it's a lot of that stuff you said, like maybe he's having a hard time bumping guys because of his hand injury. But at the same time, you know, it's like he's getting lost when the ball's up in the air too. It's like, I mean, he's being in some really good positions, like just turn around. And
right, you know, I know.
I don't care if you bat the ball down. If you can't catch it because you don't have two working hands, I mean, that's fine. Just bat it down, you know.
I mean, do you think maybe, and this is just spitballing what it could be, do you think Tim Walton trains them to, does he train them to guard the ball and not the man? Like, cause you know, that was always Kerry Combs' thing is, you don't turn to the ball, you jump up, and maybe he's having trouble adapting to that. That
it could be
like a mental thing, like, oh, hey, like I got to try to locate the ball now instead of just like jumping up to the, you know, jumping up to where the receiver's hands are and just deflecting the ball. So I don't know. Maybe I just thought of that. That could be it.
Yeah.
Could be a thing.
It could be the, and, you know, and like what kind of what you said, that maybe he's just having a, you know, I don't remember what he looked like in the first two games of last year when they were running old school Ohio State. You know, we're going to play very heavy man defense across the board. Maybe, you know, the type of zone that Barnes ran was easier on him, that he, because even the corners were in pure zones. I mean, this zone defense the coverages that Knowles runs is very different, and it's a lot more zone defense in the middle of the field. And, you know, but he still puts his corners on islands.
Right, man. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's having a hard time where maybe in the old type of, you know, when you think about those older, that older man to man, you know, that Ohio State was famous under Urban and, you know, early last year, and, you know, with Halfley, and that they've always kind of ran for the last how many years, is that they, you know, you had safeties back there at different times helping the man coverage too. And maybe it's just that he thought, he's just in some of these things, he's not getting the same type of help. So he's having a hard time adapting to it. I don't know.
He's looking helpless out there.
Yeah. So I think health getting healthier, it would, again, will help some of that stuff. So hopefully, again, after the bye week, some of those guys are able to come back.
Yeah. And I don't think we mean to be too hard on Denzel or anything. It's just, that right now, that is, like I said, that's the Achilles heel of the defense.
Yeah. All right. So just real quick, getting out of the Rutgers game now. So something did happen after the Rutgers game. We blew them out a couple weeks ago, which it is what it is. I guess it's pretty embarrassing, though, when your ex-coach and Illinois of all schools comes in and blows you out.
So yeah.
We're going to talk about just real quickly about the Paul Chryst firing. So, I mean, on the surface level, it looks really, really weird because, I mean, the guy has performed. I mean, you know,
what, 6-1 in bowl games since he's been there.
I
mean,
I think it was 67-28, something like that.
One of the better Big Ten schools since he's been there. Been to a lot of Big Ten championship games, never won one.
But he's lost Ohio State two different times. I mean,
and Penn State once.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Ohio State three. No, he wasn't there. 14,
yeah, so seven, I mean, he's 17, played 19, but nobody in the West, you know, especially since we went to East and West, I mean, nobody
in the West won.
Has won on that side. You know, they've never beaten an Eastern school, and I mean, that's what, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the West has always been weird and
not good,
a lot less down. So on the surface, I'm like, to me is like Wisconsin maybe like swinging for something that they're just never going to be. Like in Nebraska got into trouble with that when, you know, they've kind of, you know, Bo Pelini and, you know, Solage before him, and, you know, I know what was his face, that was a Kavanaugh or whatever was in between them, or
yeah, it was what's it, the offensive line coach?
Yeah,
I can't.
Callahan.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was like, whatever, after Pelini, they go to Riley and then they go to Frost, which they think Frost is going to, it's like they kind of get outside of maybe, you know, like you were being successful and, you know.
Yeah.
And there was probably other reasons why Pelini got fired than just that, you know, his win loss record.
Well, what he called, I mean, you can't call the president or AD the, you know, female anatomy. That usually doesn't go well.
Yeah. no, I would imagine that probably wasn't a good.
That's usually signing your own pink slip with that when you say nonsense like that, man.
Usually those are, you don't even get an exit interview with those. Those are your security.
Well, here's the door.
Yeah.
Bo? walk through that door, please.
Yeah, no, but I know that, you know, Wisconsin, you're kind of thinking like they should be, you know, and I think, but when you kind of think about it, when Bert was there, you know, when Brett was there, you know, they did have a little bit different, you know, they had expectations that, you know, we're gonna win the Big Ten, and when, you know,
yeah,
and I don't know if they have the same expectations, and it just seems like maybe they're kind of going through the motions. They know they're one of the better teams on the West. So, you know, it's kind of maybe like old school, you know, it's kind of maybe like the old school college football thinking, you know, we'll do fine. Yeah. Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, they're going to beat us in the championship game, but we're going to go, we're going to go play on New Year's Day or, you know, one of those bowl games, whether it's Capital One or one of those better bowl games. You know, they've always done fairly well against the SEC, you know.
They usually win.
And we'll make our money, and that's fine. But, you know, you're coming into a different era of college football. NIL's a thing now. You know, transfer portal's a thing. You would think that a school like Wisconsin, I don't know if they could pull out maybe the NIL bucks, but somebody like Wisconsin and the transfer portal, they could be a dangerous school. Like, you know, they could bring in some dangerous people every year. Then lets them possibly get to a point where, you know, if we just get that lucky game, we can beat Ohio State in the bowl game, or I mean, in the championship game. And now you're going into an expansion era where I think that, or playoff expansion era where, you know, Wisconsin has an opportunity to make the playoffs most years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, and they're probably in the position thinking like, you know, if we can get it up to where we're only losing two games a year or maybe one game a year, you know, we're in that playoff every year. And then you got opportunities and, you know, and maybe you throw an upset here and there on the Eastern side team. And you, if you can get into it, if they're still playing like divisions or whatever, and you might be a top four seed. And so like, I mean, so I kind of get into that thing that expectations need to be a little higher now. And I'll let you respond here in a second. It's just one last thing. And I just read it like today. I don't know how long it's been out there. It seemed like he didn't have a recruiting staff for this year. So it's like, you know, you're tying both of his hands behind his back. So like that's a knock against Wisconsin. If they didn't have a recruiting staff for him, I just don't get that.
Yeah. And that's especially when like Ohio State went in there and stole, you know, one of the best linemen in the state of Wisconsin. And that just never happens. Like those guys always stay home. And the fact that the Buckeyes got him was huge. And that Carson Hinsman is who I'm talking about. And I mean, it sounds like they had no foundation for, you know, nothing for recruiting. So, yeah, I mean, Chris doesn't have all the time in the world that he can do all that by himself. You know, he needs some help there. So yeah, that was kind of wild to me to read. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like there's a sense of complacency with a lot of the Western coaches, Big Ten West coaches. So I can kind of get where they're going because like you said, you know, the playoffs are expanding. There might be a chance for Wisconsin, you know, to knock off a team in the playoffs. I don't know if we'll ever see them win a national title or anything like that. The handling of Graham Mertz, the development of Graham Mertz is very disappointing. Yeah. I mean, Graham Mertz does have some talent. Like,
no, he does.
He broke the record for touchdown passes at that All-American Bowl for high schoolers. So there, he has some talent to him. So the development of him from, you know, I think a quarterback guy is just that was really, you know, that left a lot to be desired. I don't know. I mean, what I will say is, you know, spend money, get a good coach. I feel like Wisconsin, although they're not, you know, a tier one team, they still have an infrastructure there that it should not take them any time to be back to where they were.
No,
If you get the hire right, you should be fine. I don't think you need to go through any couple year rebuild or anything like that. I think you can win the West again. I mean, hell, they're still in position. They could win the West this year. Honestly, it's so far wide open, but harder with two losses already.
I think they could be a little bit more inventive. Like,
they need to be,
to me,
what are you going? You're going to run at Alabama all day long. If you get there. No, I mean, what?
Like,
you're going to get 20 yards gained on the ground and they're going to crush you.
I know they have Mo Ibrahim, but you know, Minnesota over the last several years has been able to get some better receivers.
Well, Tanner Morgan's also 50 years old. I mean, he's been there forever,
but it would just seem like if you can get receivers in Minneapolis, you should be able to get receivers in Madison. So like, you know,
well, I mean, from what I heard, Illinois was much more athletic than Wisconsin. So, like that's not good. But like I said, I think they got enough there that they've had for years and they're not far enough removed from it. It shouldn't take them long to get back to where they were, as long as you get the hire right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I scratch my head with it, but at the same time, I think he was getting complacent. And like I said, I hated, and I know like you had said, it made sense that they started working on stuff against Ohio State because they were out of it. And I get that 100%, but it felt like he gave up way too early in that game. It did
feel like he gave up. Like, I understand his point of what he was doing, because I think that's what he was doing. But no, if I was a fan of Wisconsin, I would be upset about that.
It would piss me off. I mean, that was horrible.
You know, I mean, Ohio State goes down, you know, two scores to Utah, and Ryan Day doesn't pack it in, and you know.
No, and what? And you end up giving up 55 points and you score a couple meaningless garbage time touchdowns. Like, at least fight for it. I mean, it looked worse by doing that.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into our Michigan State thoughts. I know you got your sheet over there. You want to go through, and then basically, I think what we'll do, we'll just move time along tonight. We're just gonna kind of we'll group everything together.
Yeah,
you know, offense and defense.
That's fine.
All right, so you're up.
All right, I'll be quick with this. So Michigan State, Ohio State, it seems like although Michigan State does have a decent run defense, it seems like, you know, where their strength lies is in the passing game, but where their biggest weakness is their passing defense. So just real quick, want to break it down. I didn't put down the averages for the teams they played, but this is how the year's gone so far. Against Western Michigan, they've thrown for 233. They won that game. Akron, they threw for 236. They won. Washington, they threw for 323 in a loss. Minnesota, 202 in a loss. Maryland, 221 in the loss. They're averaging 275 passing yards per game. That's what they allow. I'm like, that doesn't even seem right for what I said. They're averaging 243 in the air, so nothing like crazy. Ohio State is giving up 153, and it seems like the better teams they've played outside of Washington, which I think that was just kind of like shootout point. It seems like they've done worse throwing the ball against the better teams that they've played. So I don't know if they're going to, you know, they might get above that 153 against Ohio State, but I don't think they're going to go crazy. Passing yards against. So they are really bad again with their pass defense. Western Michigan got 193 on them. Western Michigan averages 175 on the year. Akron was lower than normal. They got 203, average 244. Washington was 397 when they normally get 364. Minnesota was 268 when they normally get 250. And Maryland was 314 when they averaged 302. Ohio State averages 303. And what I'm really looking at there is Maryland and Washington probably have the best weapons all around, but they also have the two that have quarterbacks that are going to play in the NFL in some sort of capacity. And CJ Stroud definitely fits into that mold. So Ohio State averaging 303, I could see Ohio State, you know, really going anywhere between the 350 to 400 yards in this game. I mean, they torched them last year, so they, maybe they play back and they try to keep them from doing so, but I see Ohio State torching them again through the air. Yep. And I mean, that's really all that's what I have for a breakdown. Oh, they're also horrible on third down defense. So look for Ohio State. You know, if they do get in the third downs, they'll keep extending drives because Michigan State does not get off the field.
Yeah. My I told you before we started recording, this is like, I don't see any difference between this year's Michigan State team and last year's Michigan State team, except last year's had Kenneth Walker and this year's team doesn't. And right. I just think like that, you know, Ohio State made it look so easy last year. And I don't know. I don't see, like, I'm just not envisioning in my head where it's going to be any different. I mean, as long as Ohio State, you know, plays, you know, their first road game and, you know, all that stuff, you know,
that
the way they should. I mean, that could be a little bit of an obstacle. It's the first time going on the road.
And the last time they played at East Lansing was when there were no fans.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to remember that. But
I heard it's more of Ohio State's tickets.
But I have a feeling that, you know, it could have a feeling that Ohio State has almost half the fan,
right?
Half the tickets.
You're going to see more red than green.
And then if it gets lopsided like several of these years, I mean, the last good game that they played against each other was what, 2015, it feels like. I mean, there was probably,
yes,
like, was there like one decent game in there in 16 or 17? I don't even think so, right? I mean, it's been like blowouts ever since.
Well, 16 was really close because that's when our offense was we couldn't do anything offensively. But no, it's been a blowout every year since, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so
18 was kind of weird. That was like a 20-2 game or something like that. That one was kind of sloppy.
But I think by the end of this game, by the time this game really gets into it, it's, you know, it'll be about half the stadium will be Ohio State fans. And then it'll be like 100% of the fan base that's left will be Ohio State fans. Yeah. And so, you know, I think the Buckeyes will do fine on that. I mean, so, yeah, I don't see where Michigan State has anything that I'm really nervous about. The good teams that they've played on their schedule have pretty much kicked their butt. And so that's just like, man, this is the best team you're going to be playing on their own schedule. So I think, you know, as long as, you know, I mean, we've had a lot of injuries over. It's like we've had a lot of guys injured, but like some of them are playing some weeks and some of them aren't. And then they're like off the next week. So as long as like every one of our guys that have bumps and bruises are not, at least as some of them are playing, that right. It just seems like that, you know, there's no way Michigan State can even put up any type of resistance.
I agree with that. So offensive player of the game, I'm going to cheat. This is a guy that I typically say we can't use, but I'm going to say CJ Stroud. He had a rough, you know, from the second half of Wisconsin moving forward, he's had some rough spots in those games, and he's going to right the ship this week. Like I said, he's thrown for over 300 yards. I think the backups are going to get some yards too, but yeah, I see him having a game. If I were to say a second one, maybe Marv Jr., just because it feels like it's going to be his sort of week. And then as far as a like breakout type player, I'm going to say Kyle McCord, actually. So, and I don't know if he'll have the stats or whatnot, but I think he'll look good in his mop up duty. Yeah. And then if I got a bold prediction, I think CJ is going to throw 6 touchdowns in the first half.
Okay. Yeah. I like all those. I'm going to go with, I think it's whoever is the main running back. I mean, it seems like maybe Mayan's a little banged up there. Seems like he has maybe a knee brace on this week during practice, according to some of the beat guys. Seems like Trey maybe is back to full go, but I mean, again, we'll see. Is that whoever the main running back is this week will be my player of the game. And it's not that I don't think CJ will do. I think CJ is going to torch this team and get back on track to, you know, maybe whatever that if you,
whatever on track for him, you know, yeah. Is like,
but I
video game numbers.
Yeah. So, but I'll say the running back, My what was the next surprise or breakout?
Yeah, just, you know, break candidate you didn't don't necessarily expect to have a great game, but it will.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna go with I think it's gonna be like a I'm gonna say Fleming. Just
I like that.
Throw something.
Fleming's been on fire, man. What's he got? Four touchdowns in 3 weeks. A little
different. I think he's gonna have another double touchdown, you know, game, and yeah, I think that will be kind of you know, we'll say him. I think what's the last
bold name? Prediction?
Bold prediction. I'm gonna say that this is finally the game that. And this is gonna be my bold prediction on both sides. They're gonna shut them out. So we'll say. I mean, I know that's a defense.
How's that offensive?
You know, the offense is going to score a lot of points.
Okay,
they're gonna shut them out. Darn it! But no, I'm trying to think of a bold prediction for offense. Yeah, I don't know. I like the six touchdown thing. I think it could be a really big game. You know what? I'll say that they're going to have, even though I think they've done it, almost done it, they're going to get, because of the crappy defense of Michigan State, they are going to get, you know, 800 yards of offense. So there you go.
Wow. That's a prediction. All right. That's bold.
All right. They were close once this year.
Yeah, they had 7 something against Toledo, if I'm right on
there
that.
There you go. They'll get 8.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay. So defensive player of the game. I'm going to say Zach Harrison. Yeah, as I'm wearing a Jack Sawyer and Jalen Tuimoloau shirt, I am going to say Zach Harrison is going to be the defensive player of the game. I think they found something with him, and I think Michigan State's going to have to throw a lot in this game. So I see Zach Harrison maybe picking up a couple sacks from the inside, outside, whatever. Always sets the edge great against the run, so that's never going to change for him. But building confidence, he's going to make a couple more big plays like he did last week. So he's going to be my player of the game. Breakout player, I'm going to say J.K. Johnson. I think he's going to get some meaningful snaps this week, and I think he's going to be the man. I think he's going to, you know, I think he's going to be a lockdown on his side, really show people, you know, that there's a lot to be happy about in that cornerback room coming up. And then for my bold prediction, Sonny Styles is going to get his first interception as an Ohio State Buckeye.
Nice. My player, I'm going to say, is going to be, I'm going to go with Tommy Eichenberger. I'm not really
Mr. Consistency.
Yeah. And then
did you hear that Knowles press conference? What do you say? Tommy just kind of grunts at you.
Yeah. Yeah, I did hear that.
That was funny.
You know, I said that they're going to, you know, I said they're going to get a shutout, but I'll throw a different kind of, I'm going to throw my surprise and, you know, my bold prediction together. I think that, you know, kind of on your thing with Zach Harrison, I think Zach Harrison's going to get 2 sacks in this game. I think they're going to get 5+ sacks, and that's going to be my bold prediction.
Sawyer made comment that they've left a lot of sacks on the field. I think they're all getting very close. Like, yeah, they know it's almost there, and they're going to start getting them.
And I don't think Mel Tucker is going to be, he's not going to do what Chris did. He's going to actually try to, you know, they will.
Well, that's a shot. It's throwing the ball
that they're going to get behind, and they're not going to get blown out. And, you know, especially if I'm calling 800 yards of offense and a shutout, you know, they're going to want to score a couple of points in there. So I think he'll try to throw it a lot more. And that's going to equal to a very brutal day for their quarterback.
So you think Ryan Day is going to let them get 800 yards while they haven't given up a point?
Yep.
I love it, man.
He's gonna, you know, baptism by fire for Mel Tucker. And I think
he's burned Mel Tucker's ass twice. Well, actually, Larry Johnson did the first time.
And I think
Day was at home.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna want to I think killer Ryan Day, after the whole scuff up last week, probably would have wanted to go put up a bunch of points after that.
Yeah, I agree. Against
Rutgers, he kind of was backed into a corner to where he couldn't, you know, especially when, you know, once you realize half the country are idiots and they think that they ran a punt plot or a punt return when, or a punt fake.
Yeah.
When, it was actually, you know, Chiano who Rutgers. Comes up with why come up with a pump block and then you don't leave a contained guy over there. I don't know.
I do have a big issue with you running a pump block and then you're going to go over there and cry victim when you are saying that the other coach ran a fake punt on you. Like,
no,
you can't be the only one that does it. Like, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah. And all, I know he said he was going to talk to Mirko this week. I literally hope.
I hope he just patted him on the back.
I just hope that's literally all it was, is that, you know, just, you know what, you did what you're supposed to do and you're, I'm not going to, you know.
You see that look, you take it every time.
I mean, I would have been, as a head coach, I would have been more mad at him if he would have punted the ball after they literally gave him 20 yards, like right there. So
I'm a big proponent that you don't practice bad practices. Like, yeah. What if you're in a game that means something and the defense gives him that look and he punts the ball with no one freaking around it? Like,
oh, yeah.
How are you going to feel then? Like, you know, so, yeah, I never say get yourself out of the rhythm of what you're actually supposed to do. I think that's just an idiotic, you know, thought process.
Yeah, maybe, you know, again, I'm not going to, this will just last comment on this, but maybe what Ryan Day should have told him is that, you know, if ever happens again, when we're up that big, I want you still to do it. Just go out of bounds though, right when you pass the first down marker, just get the first down and be done with it. And you know, you don't need to.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see that. And that way he doesn't put himself in danger of getting blasted because of a low rent Bush league.
I would basically say if we're in a close game, you know, and that happens, you go get as many yards as you can possibly get. I don't care if it's 30 yards, because that extra yardage can matter. If it's a blowout, you still need to do what you should be doing, and that's going with it. But, you know, get the first down and get out of bounds, and then, you know, we'll keep the ball.
Or go down so the clock starts back up when they set the ball. Whatever. Yeah, I could see that.
Yep.
All right. Scores around the Big Ten. So tomorrow night, Rutgers is playing Nebraska in Piscataway. Nebraska's a 3-point favorite. I don't know. I think Shiano might get them fired up. I'm still not buying Nebraska. I think Nebraska's a better team, but they're still going through stuff. I think Shiano's going to pull out some of his famous trick plays in this game in prime time. I'm going to say Rutgers wins outright. Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not gonna really.
Actually, I don't know. They don't have a quarterback. I don't know. That's a tricky one. I'm just gonna say because it's home though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know. I'm gonna say Rutgers beats them. I just, you know.
I don't think anything crazy. I think it's a close game. But all right, Saturday, Michigan plays Indiana on the road, but that's a home game for any real good, you know, Big Ten school. Michigan is a 22.5-point favorite. I'm going to say Michigan covers against Indiana on the road. I mean, that's just Indiana. They're off 3-0. They've lost two in a row, and they're no good. So Michigan covers.
Indiana is back to old Indiana.
Yes.
So Michigan wins, but Indiana covers. Indiana's gonna, because that's old Indiana. They always played Michigan tough for whatever reason.
They played us tough those years too.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they always,
some of the time.
There's just years in there where they, for whatever reason, they always played Michigan tough. So I'm gonna say that, you know,
I think Kevin Wilson was their coach though.
They beat the spread, but
Tom Allen's a fraud.
Yeah.
Purdue travels to Maryland. Wow, this is only a 3-point spread. Maryland at home, so they're pretty much saying this game's even. I don't know what to make of Purdue yet. They've played close games, so I kind of like where this is at. I'm gonna say Maryland, and it's gonna be a push. Maryland's gonna win by a field goal.
Who's home again?
Maryland.
I think Maryland covers. You know, I think they win by a touchdown. I mean, Purdue has played some close games and stuff. It's just, I'm not, I just don't believe much in many of the Western schools. They're outside 0-2 Wisconsin. They're all tied at 1-1, which is crazy to think that it's a 6-way tie over there. And Wisconsin is not one of them.
Wisconsin, that brings me to the next one. They travel over to Evanston. They're 2-3. Northwestern's 1-4. We know how bad Northwestern is. Wisconsin is a 10.5 point favorite. I don't know, man. Just firing your coach like that would be a favorite. I'm going to say Northwestern is going to either beat the spread or they're going to win outright at home.
They'll
play them close.
I think Wisconsin's going to cover. And the reason why I say that, and I'm not saying that this is going to be Wisconsin for the rest of the season. And they still have talent over there. And I just think that the players are going to circle the wagons on this one. And, you know, you just lost your coach. And I think that they're going to play pretty good. And, you know, doesn't mean I think Jim Leonard's the answer or anything. I just think for this game, I think Wisconsin is going to win by more than 10.
All right. And then, besides Ohio State, final game, Illinois plays Iowa in Illinois. Illinois is a 3.5 point favorite. I think Iowa's going to win this game outright. I don't think Illinois is that good. I don't know. I know they beat up Wisconsin. I think Iowa is a better football team than them. And I think Ferentz will keep the game close enough that he can win on a final drive.
Iowa's definitely a better defensive team than Wisconsin is, in my opinion. So I think it will get to a point that, Illinois does not have the depth probably that Iowa does. And Iowa, it doesn't mean that I think they're going to look anything impressive offensively. I just think that they will have enough to, they have enough defensively that they're going to shut Illinois down, and then they'll win the game, Iowa.
All right. We got a couple more good games around the country, so we'll get through these real quick. Tennessee travels to Death Valley, but it is a noon game. So Tennessee is a 3-point favorite, ranked number 8. LSU's has snuck back in. They're ranked 25, 4-1. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. I'm going to say Tennessee wins. I just think the atmosphere isn't going to be, I think they are the better team, and I don't think the atmosphere is going to be as crazy as what you would get a night game in Death Valley. So I think Tennessee will cover.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I'm kind of on the Tennessee bandwagon this year.
I know it sucks, man.
I really do think that they're improving as a team, and they're kind of meeting what their fans' expectations of them are every year. And so I think Tennessee wins this game. I kind of have them right now the way, I think they, we'll get, obviously, we won't be able to really get into next week's game. So I think because they play Bama next week, right?
Yes.
I'm kind of having them as a dark horse right now that they're going to beat Bama. And I think they could beat Georgia the way Georgia's been playing too. Like I really am like kind of getting into the spot that I think Tennessee could win the East. And,
it'll be interesting. They could. All right. TCU travels over to Lawrence, right? Kansas. TCU. Okay. So they're both undefeated. TCU 17th in the country. Kansas is 19. 12 o'clock game again. TCU is a 6.5 point favorite. I'd say Kansas is going to keep it going, man.
Yeah.
They're going to win this game.
I think they are. I mean, it seems like this guy is going to end up getting his, it's going to be, which is going to end up being good for him. I mean,
He'll be at Wisconsin.
I don't know if he is a big school type of coach, if he can do it at that type of pressure, but there are open jobs in Power Fives right now, so he's going to almost get to be able, if he's going to be able to get the name his price, which is going to be crazy to think of, that there's going to be a bidding war for him. So he's going to end up becoming a, let's just say that he had the, it's looking like it's the perfect storm of a year that he having Kansas looking really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Utah travels over to Los Angeles, so they play UCLA, ranked 18th in the country. UCLA is undefeated. Utah's a 3.5 point favorite. I have been impressed with UCLA this year, but I still can't trust them just because I've never trusted Chip Kelly. I've never trusted UCLA. So until they prove me wrong, which they may, I got to go with Utah covers the spread.
Yeah, I think they cover too. I actually think they cover easily. I think Utah's going to handle them. I really do. I just think that, I'm not ready to say UCLA is a good team yet. I'm not there.
I agree. Washington State isn't ranked, but they travel over to LA to play USC. Washington State's 4-1, so this could be interesting. USC, of course, 5-0, ranked number 6 in the country. I think still overrated, but, you know, conversation for another day. USC's a 13-point favorite. I think they're going to win, but I think Washington's going to beat Washington State will beat the spread.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat too. I have a
touchdown
game. I have watched a little bit of Washington State this year because I watched them against Oregon. I've seen the Wisconsin game. So I think they're pretty, if they win this game, they're definitely ranked. I think it's kind of like, it seems like that maybe they should be ranked already.
I agree.
I can see USC winning. I think USC will win in that 7, maybe 10 mark, but I think Washington State will cover.
Is Alabama A&M worth talking about?
What's the spread?
24 points, night game in Tuscaloosa.
No, because as much as they say that, they kind of buried the hatchet and stuff, Alabama's issue is coming next week, I think. I think that's also going to be an issue because I think they're going to hammer A&M. I think he's going to put Jimbo in his place for, the shenanigans.
Florida State travels over to NC State, another night game. NC State's a 3-point favorite. Who rebounds off their loss? I'm going to say NC State wins at home.
Yeah, I'm going to say that too.
Florida State's a pretender once again.
Yeah.
All right. So that'll take us to 4:00. East Lansing, number 3 Ohio State, sitting at 5-0 against unranked Michigan State, 2-3, coming off a 3-game skid. Ohio State is a 27-point favorite in this game. I am going to say Ohio State will win this game. I gave CJ Stroud, 6 touchdowns and a half, right? So that's 42 right there. I don't think their defense is any good. I think Dave's going to want to prove a point. Maybe not go too crazy here, but I'm going to say give me a field goal 59-3.
Well, I mean, I've already backed myself into a corner. I said 800 yards offense and a shutout. So 63-0. That's what I'm going to go.
I like it.
All right. So again, this will be our last show for at least over a week. We'll be on vacation next week. So I hope everybody enjoys the Buckeye game. I think once Ohio State establishes themselves, it's going to be a fairly easy game. I just don't see where, as long as the health doesn't get in the way of anything and there's no crazy injuries during the game, that, they are just that much better than Michigan State. And I think they will prove that here on Saturday. So I say, let's end this show. And
all right. No victory shots this week. You guys have plenty. Do it responsibly though.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.